Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Chick Chat, the Baby Chick podcast, where we explore all things related to motherhood, from career and relationships to parenting and wellness. Join me, Nina Spears, your baby expert and host, as we dive into topics that matter to mothers, share personal stories and insights, and interview experts and parents who can provide valuable advice and perspectives. Whether you're a first-time mom just starting out or a seasoned pro, we've got you covered. So grab a cup of tea, sit back, and let's Chick Chat. Hey guys, welcome to Chick Chat, the Baby Chick podcast. I'm Nina Spears, the Baby Chick, and today we have Becky Fawcett here to Chick Chat with us. Becky is the founder and president of HelpUsAdopt.org, an equality-based organization that seeks to reduce the financial burden of adoption. After graduating from Franklin and Marshall College, Becky had a successful career in the magazine industry, first for Baltimore Magazine and then for Philadelphia Magazine as the director of marketing. She then went on to found the Fawcett Group, a full-service public relations and marketing firm. Becky and her husband, Kip, adopted their first daughter, Jane, in 2005, and their second daughter, Brooke, in 2009. After adopting their first child, Becky and Kip were so grateful that they had the financial means to adopt that they decided to make a donation to an organization that would help ease another family's financial burden. Sadly, they could not find an adoption grant organization that was based on a mission of equality. To address this need and help all types of families, they founded HelpUsAdopt.org in 2017. HelpUsAdopt.org has been featured on CNN, People.com, The Today Show, Good Morning America, The Wall Street Journal, People Magazine, O Magazine, and Good Housekeeping for their groundbreaking work in the world of adoption. Becky lives in Manhattan with her husband, Kip, and her children, Jane and Brooke. With November being National Adoption Month, we're thrilled to chat with Becky about all things adoption. We'll talk to her about her personal adoption experiences, the adoption process, costs, and more. Let's dive in and learn about it. Hi, Becky. Thank you so much for joining us today on Chick Chat. We are thrilled and excited to chat with you.
Nina, I'm so glad to be here talking about my favorite topic.
Well, it is a topic that I am super interested in, adoption. And I love how you are very involved in the adoption world in more ways than one. You have adopted, you have this amazing company. And actually, before we get started, Becky, we'd love to learn a bit about you and your background and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. Long time ago in another world, I went to advertising sales for magazines and I lived in Baltimore and then was a ad rep at Baltimore Magazine and then moved to Philadelphia, launched their wedding publication for Philadelphia Magazine, became the director of marketing for Philadelphia Magazine. And this is where my story sort of starts, is that I had this dream job of director of marketing, and I used to sit in my amazing office and look out the 36th floor at William Penn and think, there's no way I can have this job and have a baby and be the mother I want to be. There's just no way. So I started my wheels turning and resigned and started my own PR firm back in 1999. And started to build the life that I envisioned, giving me the best of both worlds. And it took me a lot longer to become the mother than I intended. I didn't become a mom until October 2005, because there were a lot of bumps in the road for me on that one. But, you know, I have this background in PR, marketing, advertising, building things. And so fast forward many years, when it did come to help us adopt, I knew exactly what to do. I mean, I knew exactly what to do. The bigger problem was, where was I going to get all the money I needed to do it?
Did you always know that you wanted to adopt, or because of your, you know, it sounds like you, your family, you went through some challenges, or is that something that led you to adoption?
Yeah, you know, it's the old, I should have found this path for myself, but I did not. Life sort of forced me in this direction. And for that, I'm so grateful. But I do talk about this openly because I know I'm not alone. So the funny thing is I am known for saying that I did not want to adopt. My children know that. I'm not hiding this fact in the wings. I do not believe I'm alone. It's a hard jump for a lot of people to jump from the infertility world, the failed infertility world, to can I love a baby that came out of someone else's body that shares no biology with me? And I talked, my girls are now almost 18 and almost 14, and we've talked about this for years because I never want them to hear me say I didn't want to adopt and think it was about them. It was about the unknown. It really was about what I didn't know, what no one was talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people still don't, we're going to get to this later, but people still don't talk about this in the way they should, which is why I'm like singing it from the rooftops, because, you know, it's a hard jump to, we've been trained in this world that you're going to, first of all, we've been trained that you're going to meet a man and you're going to get married. So that narrative has changed already for many people. That is not the narrative for all little girls at all anymore. But then the narrative goes on to, first of all, that you even need a partner to become a mother. That's not a narrative anymore. And then you're going to be pregnant. So we grow up being programmed that you're only normal if you get pregnant. You're only doing this the right way if you get pregnant. So, and yes, are there people who grow up thinking I'm only adopting and they know that from, yes, of course there are, but it's a very small percentage. The majority of the people adopting are failed infertility patients like me. So I do want to talk about that we didn't want to adopt because as my oldest says to me now, my 18-year-old, she goes, ha, joke's on you. Look how this turned out. You know, I mean, the joke is on me. If I'd only known, right? If I'd only known, it wouldn't have been so scary. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have felt so all alone. I would have understood that I was joining a new community and just doing things a little differently, you know?
Yeah. Oh. And now it's led you to creating your whole helpusadopt.org and everything. So,
you know, I mean, really what's so bizarre, and I was talking about this with a friend the other day who was saying to me, which was very nice, just like, you're so lucky that you knew at 36 why you were here, like on this planet. And it's true. It is true. Like, I know why I am here. I know exactly why I'm here. So it is kind of cool what I get to do every day and my girls. And I look, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, do I wish that I'd tried one more time? And I could have. And I really did think that perhaps, you know, we adopted Jane in 2005. And I really did think, you know, I got pregnant. I did IVF 5 times and I got pregnant 3 times. And I really did think in the back of my head, this might work someday. Right? Like this might work someday. Those aren't terrible results, but I needed to become a mother now, like in that instance. So we adopted Jane. I'm like, I don't have more time to mess around with another. No one needs another miscarriage. 3 is plenty. Mm-hmm. And I always thought I'd go back and do it again for my second child. And it wasn't important to me by that time. When it came time for a sibling, I really did understand what this was all about. And I didn't want to go through the IVF again. I could have. I'd moved to New York. I mean, I was in walking distance of some of the top clinics in the world that people fly into, like from other parts of the country, just to see these doctors. And I could have walked down the street to see them. And I adopted Brooke, you know, and I feel so lucky. That's the magic of adoption. Like, I feel so lucky to have these girls. Like, I think they are exactly who was supposed to come my way. I know I was supposed to have these relationships with their birth mothers. Some of your people listening might be like, that girl's cuckoo. It's the old, if you haven't walked in my shoes, you can't judge. Like, so many adoptive parents feel this way, even when they adopt from across the globe, you know? And Like, I have one friend, it's so funny. She's a Caucasian woman. She adopted a black child from Africa. And she's so funny about it. She's like, except for the obvious difference, I see myself in his face. She's like, I can't help it. Like, and the more we are together, the more we are supposed to be mother and son. Like, and it's just so funny to talk to her because she's like, I know. But they're so cute together because they really do sort of look alike, you know?
Aww. That's so beautiful. Oh my goodness. Becky, thank you so much for sharing your story, because that really is so beautiful. And hearing from someone who has gone through it firsthand and how it's really now formed your whole life. That's just amazing to hear.
You know, and you're so nice to say it was beautiful. For those of you listening who might be like, I'm in the midst of this now, I'm going through this now, I know someone who's, it's not beautiful in the moment.
Right.
It's so ugly in the moment. It's so hard in the moment. It's so, you know, I try to explain this to my kids too, because I want them to understand. Sometimes, like, when they're like, you know, frustrated with me, you know, when I'm rule mommy, I'm like, you have no idea what I did to get you. Like, you have no idea how hard I worked for you. Like, to become, I wanted to be your mother so badly. And I want them to understand, not for sympathy purposes, but I really want them to understand, like, I wasn't stopping until you were here. Like, this was dedicated effort.
Yeah. And so let's get into that. I love how you're saying that to the listeners who are in the thick of it or know someone or whatever, that it can not be so beautiful.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear more about that, like your personal adoption story and that experience, if you don't mind sharing with us.
Yeah. I mean, I danced around this world. I always say it, danced around the word adoption to the tune of $82,000 towards IVF. I mean, that's some dancing. I had, you know, I already told you I did it 5 times. I got 3 miscarriages. So on one hand of my brain, I kept saying, this has to work. I wouldn't be getting results like this if this wasn't going to work. And then the other half of my brain was saying, like, this has to work because I'm not adopting. I'm not doing that. It's too scary. I don't know what that looks like. No one wants to talk about it. People are already talking about me behind my back because I keep having all these public miscarriages. You know, I'm pregnant and having these miscarriages. And that's no fun either. Like, it's really not a process that you can go through by yourself. And people try to be helpful, but the nosiness and the, oh, I'm so sorry, isn't helpful in that moment. You know, it really just isn't. And then if you go on to, like, the tunnel vision of, like, I just have to get through this, then you're criticized for not letting people in. We only want to help you. We only want to be there for you. But the problem is, and still to this day, it's very hard for someone who hasn't been through all this, like anything in life, to really know what it is. And when someone who's had 3 children like this sits here and says, well, maybe you should just adopt. Sorry, but you want to punch them in the face. You really do, because there's so much. This isn't just, it's such a rude thing to say to people. It's not supportive because you don't know how hard this jump from biology to not is for someone. You don't know if they have the money to do it. You don't know anything about how hard this process is. Like, I know we're going to talk about that a little later. I mean, it's not for the faint-hearted. Like, it is a process and it is full of hills and valleys. So, you know, it's really a challenge. It's not, and again, should this be easier with so many children who need homes and women who are unexpected pregnancies who need help? This should be like this, okay? Mm-hmm. You should want to adopt. There should be babies like, let's do this. But that's not the way it is. It takes, you know, my first adoption took 10 months back in 2005, which was, as things go, fast. Mm. Doesn't feel so fast when you're coming out of the pits of hell into this next, you know, it doesn't feel so fast. Now, my second adoption, 2.5 years.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, had that been my first adoption, you'd be talking to a woman with 1 child, because I never would have done that again. No way. No way. I never would have done that again. It was so awful, that second adoption.
Yeah.
And again, I talk to Brooke about that all the time because she'll hear me talking and she's like, my adoption was awful. I'm like, no, it's not you. It's the process. And I make sure that my kids understand like what this process looks like that makes it so difficult, that it has nothing to do with them.
Why do you think it was easier the first time around, that for 10 months versus the 2.5 years? What was the difference? Because you would think that it would be...
So part of it is fate. Part of it was I moved states. So when I adopted Jane, I lived in Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. And in Pennsylvania, you know, this is part of the problem with adoption. And this gets very complicated very quickly. I'm 18 years into this and I still can't explain it perfectly. But adoption is state by state law. It's not federal. So in Pennsylvania, the way adoption attorneys and social workers and agencies can work with you as an adoptive parent is much different than New York. Mm. In Philadelphia, it was basically, I signed up and I waited for a call. It was sort of they did all the work. In New York, it was sort of different. You had to do a lot of work and on your end. And I didn't really want to do that because I'd already had this great experience doing it one way. So I adopted in a different state through a large agency. And the difference between a lawyer and an agency is that a lawyer only takes on maybe 10 families at a time. Mm-hmm. Because they're one person. And this agency, by the time I really figured out what was going on, it came highly recommended. Great. I was 157 in line.
Gosh, that's insane.
Holy crap. So I didn't ask the right questions. But I was stuck. I was $30,000 in already by the time I figured out like what the hell is taking so long. And then the next problem became, we were really only looking at Texas birth mothers because of the laws between Texas and New York. Again, don't ask me to explain. Very complicated. I can't explain. And Texas birth mothers don't understand apartment living. So they heard I lived in an apartment building and they thought I didn't have the means to have a child. Because in Texas, you live in sprawl. You live on a ranch. You have land. You have, even if you don't have a lot of money, you don't live in apartments. It's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't understand city living. So when, flash forward 2.5 years in, when we got matched, I said to this young woman who was carrying my child and picked me to be the mother, I said, why do you love New York so much? She goes, oh, I'm originally from Virginia. I love the East Coast. She got me. Like, there was my fate moment, right? Like, there was someone who really understood how lucky this kid was to be growing up in New York City. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting, all these external pieces that fall into play. Like, I know one of your questions we talked about was, is there a typical adoption? And there's not. Nothing is typical. Nothing. And on one hand, there's so many rules and there's so many sort of steps like this will happen. And on the other hand, it's like the wild, wild west, because you just don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know who's going to pick you. You just don't know why they're going to pick you. You just don't know. And right. Yeah. And that's hard for a lot of people to hear. It's really hard for a lot of people to hear.
Yeah. And like you said, it could be different state by state. You don't know what your process is going to be like in your state and how to prepare for that. And that's exhausting. You had mentioned, Becky, that with your personal experience, that there are a lot of challenges. And you said, we'll go into that. I'd love to go into that now. Like, what were the biggest challenges you faced while going through the adoption process?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest challenges that I faced while going through this really... You know, listen, I was very fortunate that I had $40,000 left in my savings account after the IVF to pay for this. So on one hand, yeah, you think, oh, she's fine. There's nothing to worry about. However, you know, I don't know anybody who can be like, we're going to deplete every penny of savings we have to do this. The thing about the challenges are, you know, while I had the $40,000 in a savings account, you know, I really, writing those checks is very scary because I was well aware that we would have no savings left. Now, can we rebuild? Fine, yes. But like, it's still, you know, I'd already spent, as I mentioned, $82,000 on IVF. And now I'm spending $40,000 to have a baby. And I was 34 years old. So it's rough. It's rough. But the biggest challenge I think I faced was really that no one wants to talk about this. Just no one. No one back then, no one now. A few people now, but not really. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk, you know, and I've really tried to get really ingrained in the IVF world because my whole thing in life is that everybody thinks I'm opinionated. And a lot of what I talk about is not opinions, it's fact. If you're lucky, 50% of the people doing IVF will go home with a live birth. Well, there's 8 million infertile people a year. So start doing the math. What is happening to the rest of these people? Who is paying attention to the rest of these people? No one. I can't get, I mean, occasionally here and there, I get in the door of the IVF world, but no one wants to talk about this because it's negative. But to me, it's factual. I was so caught off guard that this didn't work. I still to this day go back and I'm like, I had the money to pay for it. I was in one of the top cities in the country, amazing doctors, amazing labs, access to all this medication, young, healthy, didn't work. 5 rounds, 3 pregnancies, 3 miscarriages. I was caught off guard. I don't think we do enough to prepare the group that is not going to work for into this, because here's the deal. I'm not going to sit here ever in my life and say, you know what, skip IVF, you should just adopt. That's not who I am, and that's not my message. My message is follow your dream on how you want to become a mother. Do as much as you can do before your heart is broken, your wallet's empty, your brain is fried. And then if you're interested in adoption, I'm here.
I've heard from families that the adoption process can be overwhelming. I have several friends who have been adopted. Even my sister-in-law, she was adopted. So, and hearing her story with her mother, it's wonderful. She has also 2 other adopted siblings. You know, where do you suggest a family start to explore adoption? Because like you were just saying, you're not here to tell people, oh, skip the IVF, follow your dream, do what you want to do to build your family. But also know that there are other options. So, you know, if one dream is not coming to fruition, maybe the dream just maybe
and
needs
to. That really is my point. And the thing is like, there are people who are talking about this in an educated, smart way and helpful and supportive way. And if you're interested in adoption, like, listen, I've been known to talk to someone and be like, your head's not in this. Can you afford IVF one more time? If it fails, can you then afford adoption? And they're like, yes. I'm like, then do it.
Yes.
You know, I am the voice of reason. I really am. Because my goal is to help you get through this in one piece and be happy. You know, and I wish I didn't have that. I had to do this all on my own, navigate all of this on my own. And I'll tell you, it's very lonely at points when you're the only one on the road. Think about like driving late at night, like you're the only one. This is it. But you're on the journey to motherhood, what is supposed to be like the happiest, greatest time of your life. And you're alone. And it's hard. You know, it's really sort of difficult. So we have a button on our website at the top of the homepage that says adoption, where do I start? And it really is about 6 questions that just really tell you, sort of get your head in the game about what you have to think about. Like, how do you want to adopt? Like, are you dreaming? For me, I wanted to try to if the baby wasn't coming from my body, I wanted to try to replicate that scenario as best as possible. So that meant domestic newborn, get matched with a birth mother. Great. Other people are, let's just say I have friends who are Asian. So they're like, okay, so I'm going to China. China's now closed. That's a bad example. But back then they're like, I want to keep my heritage. I know people who are from Costa Rica. So they have adopted from Costa Rica because that is their bloodline. Same with I'm Hispanic and I my grandparents are from Mexico and I want to adopt from Mexico. So there's many, many different reasons why people adopt. some people I've seen through to help us adopt, like they biologically had a Down syndrome baby and now they go out to look to adopt another Down syndrome baby because they know how to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really, it becomes a very beautiful story. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I wish people talked about it more. But on our website, How Do I Start? Gives you 6 questions to sort and some resources to sort of get in the right head. The best thing I really do tell people to do is to talk about this a lot. Because as you already said, Nina, it's like when you start saying, we're going to adopt, people come out of the woodwork. People that you didn't even know, like your best friend might say to you, my sister's adopted. That's amazing. Let me introduce you to her. And you had no idea your whole life that your best friend's sister was adopted because people don't talk about it. So I advise people to talk about it. And then that sort of snowballs. Can you introduce me to your adoption professional? Yes. Great. Here we go.
Yeah.
Did you have a good experience? Yes. Great. Here we go. Now you're off on the road. You can go have a meeting. You can go learn. So my biggest thing is do not do this alone because you don't have to. Do you have to look a little harder? Do you have to be vulnerable and put yourself out there? Yeah, you do. You do. But it's going to be okay. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to this and you're like, I can't do this, find me on social media. Message me. You can do this. If you, you know, if you really want to become a mother and you really just think it's scary, I'll talk you off the ledge. If you're like, I cannot break the biology chain, I get that too. And now you have different options. Again, I understand adoption is not for everybody. I understand that. And, you know, it is a scary thing. You know, how is this child going to be? How am I going to relate to a child that did not come from my body? I can only speak from my experience. I forget that they didn't come from my body.
Yeah.
You know, I really, except for the obvious remembrance of certain things, like I don't know what to tell you except because it's a big, you can't just go adopt a child and hope your feelings will go away if you're having feelings of doubt about adoption. I understand that. But maybe find a counselor that specializes in this. Like your IVF doctors should have counselors that they can recommend you to. I'm not saying they all do, but they really should have a list of people you can go talk to who are in this topic. There's also a big fear that adopted children are, and I hate to say this out loud, but we got to talk about it, are second rate. Adopted children are children, period.
Yes.
Period. Can you adopt a child with severe special needs? Yes. Is that for everybody? Absolutely no. That was not for me. I was not equipped to take care of something like that. So there are some things about adoption that scare people as they're looking in. But you have to understand, for the most part, those families have chosen that road head on. Mm-hmm. They know they can do it. They want to adopt a special needs child. I know people who are nurses and they felt, I mean, they adopted a child from China, back when China was open, who was very sick. And they really thought that this was their, they're like, this is easy for us. We have the training. Now, most people would have been like, I don't know what to do with how sick this child is. But guess what? They brought him here. They gave him the medical attention he needs. He's fine. He's fine. This is most of these medical needs are not being met because they're in orphanages. So unfortunately, no one cares. No one cares. This is why children need parents. Parents care. Parents give you what you need. And if that means medical attention and insurance, then that's what you get. So back to the thing of people making the jump to adoption. Like, I know it's not for everyone. I wish everyone would do it because there's a magic to it. There is really a magic to it that makes you feel like you're the luckiest person you get to go through this because it changes your view on the world. It changes your view about humanity. It changes the way you love. It just changes. And it brings these amazing kids who got no sense, like no say in the decision, into your family. And, you know, I mean, my kids talk about it all the time. They're like, what if I wasn't Jane Fawcett? What if I wasn't Brooke Fawcett? What if one little piece had been different? I'd be someone else. I mean, we talk about this a lot. I don't know. It's a very big topic. I understand it's a very scary topic. I understand it freaks a lot of people out. I was one of them. Mm-hmm. I was very scared of the birth mother relationship, the open adoption. Mm-hmm. And I have to say now that it's one of the greatest pieces of my life, that I'm so grateful to have these relationships with these women and to be able to give my children that story and keep in touch with these women and show them, you know, how great these kids are doing, you know? So listen, I know people are listening going, oh my God, I feel the same way. I don't want to do this, but this might be my only road. You know, one of the things that I find so tricky right now, and I don't know how you feel about the whole topic, but a lot of people talk about surrogacy as the way to sort of like bridge this whole gap. Mm-hmm. And I have no judgment against surrogacy except for this one. It is so expensive that it's not even fair to talk about surrogacy on a mainstream platform because 1% of the world can afford it.
Okay, so let's break that down then. Like surrogacy, if it's so expensive, how expensive is it? And then also, what is the average cost of adoption? So then that way people can get a good view of that.
Yeah. So the average cost of adoption published is about $40,000. I think right now it's closer to 50. Okay. To be honest with you, with inflation and what's going on right now, I think I've been telling people for years, you just need to be prepared to spend $50,000. Okay. Might be a little, one of my adoptions was 40, one was 63. I mean, there it is.
Right.
Surrogacy is anywhere from 150,000 to 200,000, depending on how many pieces you need.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My first house cost $190,000. So I just, the only thing I want to talk about here is just, it's like, it's so unfair to talk about surrogacy as like the answer to it all. Mm-hmm. When are you paying for it? You know, like it's just not fair. It's not fair. I feel my one thing, as I said earlier with you, is like, I want to be here to give people who are stuck in this sort of, you know, place, hope. There's no hope. If you can't, like, that's a lot of money. So, yeah. You know, I don't think I'm a big believer of like, I don't like false promises. I don't like putting things in front of people that are out of reach. Like even adoption is out of reach for so many. Mm-hmm. And that's why Help Us Adopt exists. So that's my only beef right now with what's going on in like the IVF world. It's just that people talk about some of these, you know, and they also talk about how IVF, like it can work now because there's so many different technological advances, right? But those cost money, you know? So again, I'm very aware, average household income in our country is $54,000. Like a round of IVF is now what, 20, 25? Like if you were to throw in some heroic measures and like I want to be very respectful of families and what their financial options are too, which makes people very uncomfortable. People don't like talking about money, period. And when you have to start talking about money with these dollar amounts and the fact that you can't afford it and you're trying to become a mom, it's like you're stabbed in the heart. And I don't mean to be dramatic, but you're stabbed in the heart. It's terrible. And my kids all the time are like, you tell us we can't talk about money like this. And all you do all day is talk about money. I go, I'm helping people. I'm also giving it away. I'm like, and yes, you're right. But it really just is out there. And I think again, at Help Us Adopt, like we talk about compassion, like and care. And we read every application that comes in our door because these people are hurting. They're hurting. They've come to like the end of this road and they're trying to build their family or add to their family, and they're hurting and no one's listening and saying, I know this is awful. And I tell people, I'm like, we might not be able to help you, but I'm listening. Mm-hmm. And you can message me and I will hear your story and I will read your story. And every day I'm trying to raise more and more money so I can say yes to more grant applicants. But it just kills me. What, you know, we got an email the other day and I will use this. This is not a critical word because I would apply it to myself way back when. I could feel the desperation as I read this email. I mean, I could just, it was just pouring out of my computer into me. You know what I mean? And I don't know if we can help them. We'll get to that grant cycle. We'll see how it goes. But my heart was just broken because it's like, I have nowhere to turn. No one is listening to me. No one will help me. And I'm really afraid I'm not going to get to be a mother because of money. Now, there's a lot wrong with that sentence. Everybody who wants to be a mother should be able to be a mother, because Lord knows there are so many children that need to come home. So that's what I try to do every day with my life. And my team does that. And my board does that. And our volunteers do that. Is we're just trying to make this an easier puzzle piece for everybody. We're trying to make adoption more financially accessible to all. And we're doing everything we can to make these kids come home faster so that I don't get emails like that. Like people say, what if you put yourself out of business? Well, I think that's impossible. I hate to say it. I hate to say it. I don't think I could ever put, the need is so great. I don't think I could ever put myself out of business, but that would be the greatest thing, wouldn't it? If people didn't need our help anymore, if kids could just come home, if everybody could afford adoption, like it'd be terrific.
It would. That's the dream. So yeah. All right, Becky, you just explained to us, you know, the cost of surrogacy versus adoption, which, you know, surrogacy, oh my gosh, you're right. That's like 1% of people who can afford that. And adoption for many people, that is also expensive. Can you explain to us, you know, why is adoption so expensive?
Well, there's a couple reasons why adoption is so expensive. And the first thing that I usually say, and again, my adoption professional friends do not love when I say this, and I always say some, not all, some, not all. But adoption professionals set the fees. Okay. So I get asked this question all the time by members of the media or whoever, and I always say they think I'm being a smart aleck, but I'm like, you're asking the wrong person. I don't set the fees. Adoption professionals set the fees. People want to know why this that's it. So number one, I'm sorry to the good guys out there for me saying this, but like you set the fees. I don't know what to say. Like you decide what you get, what you can charge. The next piece that's the problem is that there's a little bit of a terrible attitude out there is that someone is going to pay these bills. And that someone is the adoptive parents. Because in the case of a domestic adoption, you have these birth parents. They're not paying their lawyer fee. They're placing their child for adoption. How can they pay their lawyer fee, you know? And in the case of international adoption, these children are in an orphanage. So the orphanage acts like a parent in that case, and the country acts like a parent. They're not paying the fees. You're paying the fees. So it's like when I hired an attorney. We hired an attorney for us. We hired an attorney for the birth mother. So everything's double. Then with domestic, you have living expenses once you're matched with a birth mother, which can vary. Yes, there are states that have caps on them. But again, these can be very expensive depending on, you know, how long you're matched with a birth mother. And what if she needs a roof over her head? Well, you're paying for that. And again, it's sort of a tug of war because on one hand, of course you want to take care of this woman, but you might not be in a position to take care of this woman. So yourself, what if you make $50,000 a year, your adoption's costing 50. It's not that you're a horrible person for not wanting to pay the bills. It's that you can't pay the bills. Like, how can you do this? You know? So that is really why adoption's so expensive. Now, right now, there are some adoption professionals taking full advantage of the inflation out there and price gouging, and it's awful. And, you know, I do call them out on it because it's total BS. It's just not okay. If you wanted to make money, you should have gone into litigation. Corporate yeah. litigation. You should not become an adoption attorney or work for an adoption agency. Like, this is not it. It's like if someone in legal aid complained about what they made every year. Like, when you go into a career like that, or even me, I left my PR firm to run a nonprofit. I worked for free for 7 years. Like, I'm so grateful for the work I do, but I'm not wealthy because of it.
Right.
But I have a different kind of wealth, right? Like, you make a decision when you go into the service. Like, this is serving others. So I get really annoyed when, you know, I hear from attorneys, well, I'm $4.50 an hour. I'm like, well, these people are eating like ramen for dinner because they're trying to pay your bills and you're $4.50 an hour? Like, Christ, they make $40,000 a year. Why are you $4.50 an hour for their adoption? So again, it's not that I expect people to work for free, but I do expect people, when you're talking about child welfare, to mm-hmm. have some sense about them, right? Like, this was right. not the place for you to go to make millions of dollars. This is the place for you to go to serve the world,
yeah.
humanity. So, you know, it's a very, I walk a fine line here because there's a lot of good adoption professionals who try to be very mindful. But I once met an adoption attorney who was introduced to me, who took me to lunch and said, looked at me at the end of lunch and goes, I'm a very wealthy man. It never occurred to me to lower my prices for people. And it never occurred to me to do anything for free. And I go, well, you could support Help Us Adopt and you could give that way. And I never heard from him again. You know, that's a very disappointing thing in humanity, right? Like that to me is just a very, you could help, you're choosing not to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, it is hard.
Well, thank you for giving us an idea of where is all this money going and why is it so expensive? Because I think that's the first thing is people are just like, why? You know, I just want to help this baby.
And it's not that one person is getting an overwhelming amount of money. It's that there's so much going to mm-hmm. so many different pieces and one on each side and mm-hmm. things like that. And, you know, it is the nature of the beast. You know, yeah. it's the nature of the beast. And I don't know how to solve that problem of cost. I only know how to solve it by doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And what aspects of adoption do you think the general public might be unaware of that you think need to be aware of?
Most people have absolutely no clue that you don't like decide you're going to adopt, walk out the door and come home with a baby.
Really? Even I knew that.
I'm really simplifying yeah, it. Okay. But people really, they're like, what do you mean it costs $40,000, $50,000, $60,000? That's the first thing. And then when they hear that it could take, like right now, it's like 2 to 3 years to adopt. Wow. And people are like, what?
Why?
What? And, you know, again, it's just, you know, people have their, again, I think the fault, I don't blame anybody for not knowing, okay? Because mm-hmm. If the adoption community doesn't talk about this and educate others and be open about our experiences, how would people outside that circle know, right? That's a fact. So I do say to the adoption community, like, you guys have kept it secret for generations. Like, how would anybody know? You know, I think that people's perception of birth parents is very disappointing. It's very insulting. Like, I just had a conversation with someone the other day who said that the only reason birth mothers place children is because of money and they can't afford to keep them. (sighs) I think people's economic situation plays a part of it. I think that's a very disrespectful thing to say. I think there are a lot, I mean, you know, again, it's not my life, but I mean, like Hillary Swank, remember her famous Oscar winning speech that she lived in the back of a car with her mother? A lot of people in our world struggle, you know? And so to be disrespectful about someone's financial situation or economic place in this world is so upsetting to me because you don't know what they're living through. And to classify birth mothers as a whole is very, it's unkind. It's not respectful. Every birth mother situation I know is completely different. Their reasons for placing are their own. And if you're lucky, they share them with you so you can share them with your children. Like my kids know the why. My kids respect the why. We love their birth parents. We know, you know, it's just, so I think that is hard with the world, assuming things about birth parents. I mean, I talk openly with my oldest birth mother. She goes, do you know what people say to me when they find out that I placed my baby? And she tells me some of this. It's so disrespectful. What they should say is, that's amazing. Do you have an open adoption? Would you? I'd love to hear about your story. And some women might say, it's not something I like to share, but thank you. It's a great situation. And others might say, thank you. Like, I met a birth mother when I first started Help Us Adopt. And she wrote me a note and included her phone number in it. It's, you know, before we were really up and running. I don't even know how she found me, to be honest with you. This woman up in upstate New York. And she wrote me a note and she said, thank you for dedicating your work to birth mothers everywhere. I placed a baby for adoption and no one has ever thanked me for it except you. And here I was thanking indirectly, right? Like it wasn't, but the message was heard loud and clear because it's a real message. It's authentic. It's from the heart. And I'm still friends with her today. We've been in business 16 years. I'm friends with her on Facebook. We've never met in person. Like when something terrible happens in New York, I get a message from her. She's like, I'm worried about you. Are you okay? It's so cute. We've really become friends, but she didn't get the respect she deserved all those years ago. And I think that, you know, it all starts with the birth mothers. We don't have adoption without these women who make this courageous choice. Some don't feel it's courageous. Some feel they're forced into it. I can't change that. But I still believe that their decisions are courageous and filled with love. I really do.
I totally agree. It's a huge act of love. And whatever their reason is, that's their own reason. And you should feel so, like you said, honored if they share their story and their reasoning to you. And yeah, I think that that's wonderful that you do that. And people, adoptive parents and birth mothers are seeing that work and the intention that you guys have for the work that you're doing. And what advice would you give families who are just beginning to explore the adoption process?
You know, people have asked me both in business and my life, like how I have been so successful. I'm like, I don't listen to anybody. Tune out the naysayers. Mm-hmm. They're going to come like through, I mean, they come out of nowhere. And the worst is none of them have anything to do with adoption. Mm-hmm. Be careful. I will never forget. Oh my God. I sat at a lunch before I had Jane, before I adopted Jane. And one of my friends at this lunch, it was like, they all took me out to celebrate me. And then I felt like I got roasted. They're like, you're so brave. And I'm thinking, yeah, but why do you think I'm brave? Like, I don't have a choice but to be brave here. Like, this is just what it is. And they're like, well, you just don't know what you're going to get. A little rude, but no one knows what they're going to get. Like, I have plenty of friends who gave birth the old-fashioned way, who have children with syndromes, who have children who have died, who have children on medications for the rest of their life. You don't know what you're going to get. So when people tell you that that's the scary piece about adoption, I'm not sure that's such a correct parallel. I think that's life. You don't know what you're going to get. Now, do you think maybe the baby might look like you a little more if it comes out of you? Yes, maybe. But I have two children that I swear to God, people are like, those children didn't come out of your body. I'm like, those children did not come out of my body. No one believes it. Like, Jane looks just like me. Brooke looks so much like my husband and my sister. It's crazy. It's just crazy. And so I think if you can just tune out the naysayers, and again, find me on Instagram, find me on Facebook, send me a message, follow our, like, we can have conversations. You know, you do not have to go this alone. But when people tell you, oh my God, my friend adopted and it ruined her life, well, you don't know the background to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't listen to that Lifetime movie of the week story that that person is unhelpfully telling you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do your homework. Know if you're adopting internationally, yes. Do you need to know things that I didn't need to know? Cause you're adopting an older child who's been in an orphanage for a few years. Yes. You need to know things. Mm-hmm. You need to know things. Your adoption, you know, you need to know a different mindset than when I adopted a newborn that was born in a hospital and placed in my arms. It's a different journey.
Right.
So that to me is the biggest thing to be aware of. Find your people. Find people who've adopted. Find, you know, find people who will share the good, the bad, and the ugly, just like any other parent.
Yeah. And, you know? And I love how you say that because also, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you just mentioned if a friend says their horrible adoption experience and how, you know, whatever. Well, there's people like that who talk about birth. Are you going to just decide, oh, so you know what? That was terrible. So I'm not going to do it. And I don't recommend it to anybody. No, you need to educate yourself on the process. You need to find people who are going to tell you good stories. You need to find the right team that's going to help you through it. Just like in adoption, finding your community, finding your care providers, your lawyers, whatever it is, like your people that are going to help you through the process to have a better process and educate yourself along the way. That's what helps you have a better process and experience.
And that's it. And anybody can find the bad apple.
Exactly.
I mean, I always say, like, there's bad apples in every category of life. If you are a person that only goes out into the world to look for the horror stories, and we all know these people, mm-hmm. those aren't your people. I can't stand those people. I'm so sorry to say it, but like, I cannot be a doom and gloom person. Like, did I end up at adoption's door because I had some rough things happen in my life? Yeah. Okay. Did it turn out better than I ever imagined it could have? Yep. Yep. Once that baby is in my arms, I'm a mom just like anybody else.
Absolutely.
The process, I'm up, I'm exhausted, I'm changing diapers, I'm thinking about preschool, even though I'm holding a 3-week-old baby because I live in New York and that's what you do in New York. Like, you know, and now, you know, I just look at my kids and I just can't even believe here we are, 18 and 14. I mean, this was a long time ago, but I'm just a mom like everybody else. My kids are human beings. They happen to be adopted. It is part of who they are. And I'm so proud of them when they tell people. You know, my younger daughter happens, her two really close friends are both adopted too. And she's having a sleepover for her birthday in a couple of weeks. And I always laugh when the parents come over and I'm like, every kid in my apartment is adopted tonight. And no, does she seek it out? No, but the world seeks you out, right? The world puts these people in your place. And all these girls, they all have different stories. And I'm so grateful that they have each other in their teenage years. Because yeah, there might be pieces of their puzzle. Like I will say my daughter's birth mother died when she was younger. And so she never got to meet her. We've met the birth father and we have a relationship with him and his wife. And it's wonderful. But my daughter will always have this piece. Well, I can help her, but I think she's going to find more help with her friends. And so I'm so grateful, you know, that she has these friends that have stories similar to hers.
That's amazing. I just love that. I love that she has that community. And you're right. When you put it out there and you let it be known, you then attract the other people who are a part, who have similar stories and want to help you through yours so you can help them through theirs. And I think, yeah, again, just beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, and there was last year, there was an adoption bullying issue at my daughter's school. And she came home from school one day and she goes, you're not going to like what happened to school today. I'm like, why? What happened to school today? And she told me. And I said, what did you do? The bullying wasn't directly at her, but the girls were together. And this kid decides he's going to pick on these three girls for being adopted. And what does my daughter say? She goes, I hate to break it to you, but you just picked on the wrong girls. And when my mom hears what's going on,
it's not good.
It's not going to be fun for you. And she goes, was that the right thing to say? I go, perfect. And I call the school. Kiss. I'm like, perfect. I'm like, picking on someone, and adoption bullying is dismissed. Oh, it's just kids being kids. They don't understand. Well, here's the problem. It's a characteristic of birth, like some other things in this world that are not okay and not dismissed. And I demanded an apology, did not get one. And I called the school back and I go, just to be clear, I'm very aware that I was dismissed. And just so we're clear, if you think I was going to forget about it and go away, not, because he's going to do it again to someone else. And I did meet this kid, and right or wrong, she introduced me to him. We were at school, whatever. And I go, oh, you're the adoption bully. Sorry, fact. I said it with a smile on my face. And she was like, Mom, that was unnecessary. I'm like, no, it wasn't. Because he's going to do it to someone who doesn't have your backbone, who wasn't raised owning their story in such a positive way. And I'm not letting that happen. Sorry.
Yeah.
He's going to think twice before he picks on someone else.
And he needs to learn that lesson.
Because child bullies become adult bullies. And we all know that they're lovely to deal with on a regular basis. Yeah. And I have no tolerance for it.
Zero.
And if it was bullying on my kid's skin color or bullying on our religion or bullying on a handicapped, the school would have handled it completely different.
Totally.
And this is still a circumstance of birth. And I will continue to say that until the cows come home, because it's just not okay. Mm-mm. Adopted children don't choose to be adopted. And some handle it very well. And for others, it's a very painful point. And it's not okay for some outsider to come in and do that. So I know I handle things maybe in a different sort of way, but it's the only way I know how to be is open and honest.
Yeah. Which we appreciate, because you're fighting for all of the adoptive parents, adoptive kids, and birth mothers out there. So you have to be able to get through and make a point. Awesome. Becky, do you have any final recommendations or tips or resources that you want to leave our audience with?
You know, I really would. I never want to say you can do this, because I know that there are some people who can't. And again, I always want to be respectful of everybody's journey. But there are resources out there. HelpUsAdopt.org is one of them. There are some really great adoption professionals across the country. You have to do your homework. You have to find them. There are people who want to help you, and there are ways to do this. And, you know, if parenthood is your number one goal, you can do this. It might not be the most enjoyable year to 2 to 3 years of your life. I speak from experience. But once it's behind you, just equate it to labor like any other woman giving birth. Like, everybody says, oh my God, you forget about labor the minute you hold your baby. I think you sort of do forget about the adoption thing. I mean, it's brutal while you're in it. But try to stay focused on what's true to you. Tune out those naysayers. Do not listen to all these people who have nothing to do with adoption telling you the terrible things. And if you need financial help, you know, you can find Help Us Adopt very easily on all social media platforms, on our website. If you have questions about anything concerning adoption, you can email our info email that's on our website. And we really do respond to everything. It might not happen in 2 seconds, but you will get a response. We are a very small staff. And, you know, we're really here to help you become a parent. And so all I can say is that I really wish you luck. I think there's magic waiting for you at the end. And hang in there. We've all made it through. We've all made it through. We're still upright, and there's got to be some power in that.
Yes, for sure. Oh, Becky, where can our listeners find you?
You can find us at helpusadopt.org. That's our website. You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram. We are not on Twitter because Twitter is, or X, is that what it's called now? It's just, we've been gone for years. Mean, hateful community. And that's not what we're about. So we're out. We're on LinkedIn. And I am on all of those platforms as well. And I really do answer messages as long as they're kind. If you send me a mean message, you're getting deleted. I'm not interested. But if you're really reaching out for a shoulder to lean on, to ask a question, I will do my darndest to help you. I really will. And point you, even if I don't have the answer, I'll try to point you in the right direction. Because I know it's overwhelming. Yes. It's overwhelming.
Yes. Oh, goodness. Becky, thank you so much again for your time being with us and answering all of our questions. It's been really enlightening. And yes, there are some sticky spots, but it's really uplifting to know that, like, at the end of it, it's all worth it. And there's an amazing community out there. There are great resources that can help you. So just thank you for sharing that with us.
And the thing is that parenthood is sticky spots. Yes. You know, I mean, it really, again, it's just... It's okay. It's okay to have some sticky spots along your way. And I do love all your little chicks in your bookcase. They're very cute.
Thank you. Yes, my clients have given them to me over the years.
I love them.
The baby chick. I'm the chick that works with babies. So they're like, oh. So
I love it. And you know, just remember, we're all in this together. And it's really important just for all of us to support each other, no matter how you become a mother.
It's so true.
Thank you, Nina, so much for having me on. It was so nice to talk to you.
Yes, same to you. And for our listeners out there, to learn more about Becky, as she said, you can find her online at helpusadopt.org or Instagram, Facebook at helpusadopt. Our team will be posting today's episode on our Baby Chick Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments about our discussion, please share them with us in the comment section. And as always, if you haven't already, please subscribe to Chick Chat, the Baby Chick podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave us an honest review. Cheers to bringing...
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Families together.